You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook. And David Leo is back with us for the final time this week on Tassie Encounters Moments, finishing up our topic of grace, law, freedom, and God's character. Yeah. We've been looking at how all of these things fit together, looking at a bit of historical or key figures in the formulation of Christian doctrine, a bit of, theological exposition.
Absolutely. It's been a tough one to try and put it into the short week.
And I don't know whether we're going to answer this question or not today, but we've been looking at, you know, works and grace a little bit, and what comes first, and can we choose salvation, or are we chosen for salvation?
Yes. Yep. Has already been done for us.
And I guess the other question that remains is, if we choose salvation, is it then unconditional?
Mm-hmm.
Is there no way that we can lose our salvation once we've entered into salvation?
Yeah. And a popular one of that is, popular understanding of that is, once saved,
always saved.
Always saved. Yeah, that's a common phrase that's been thrown around in the Christian circles.
Mm.
And so we finish off today. And as Jason said, it's been an enjoyable one. A tough topic,
challenging in a way.
Yeah, but I hope it's enough to tease our listener to go look some more and read into it. You know, I think it's definitely worthwhile. Particularly, I'd love for you to read the Gospels of how Jesus carried himself and how he conducted himself while he was here, and the things that he said. And
We didn't read the verse, but one of the things when it comes to law and grace is that he said that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill. And then we've got those passages that says that in Ezekiel 31, I think it is, where he says that, or somewhere in Ezekiel, that says that he's going to write the law on our hearts.
Mm.
So does that mean the law's gone now, or is it still there, or is it simply not an external thing written on stone, but now becomes part of our inner being? But the law is still there. That's the way I look at that one.
you just reminded me too, and I don't know exactly where it is. I think it was Psalms 84, but it says that it says the law and justice have kissed.
Yes, it is in Psalms. I'll find it for you while you talk.
Right. Yeah, that's probably one worth looking at, because that's where it's only in Jesus where those two things
meet at the cross.
Correct. Mm. But a question for you. Oh, yes. Sorry.
No, there you go.
I'll do a quick summary first, so you can hopefully you can go back and listen to the other shows, segments that we did for the show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, we looked at the balance between, you know, how much we are gracious, or how much we hold somebody accountable. We call graciousness grace and accountability law. The balance is between grace and law. And it affects everything in our life, from our individual families to our workplace and our school. It affects us. And how this question is asked in the Bible is, God, is he totally gracious, or is he a tyrant that holds us accountable for everything? You know, how's that tension held? On Tuesday, we looked at two individuals way back in the 3rd and 4th century, Pelagius and Augustine, and their arguments and the tensions they held. Pelagian believing that we're responsible for our own salvation, and Augustine saying, no, it's the grace of God that does that for us. And then yesterday, we looked at two more individuals, 1,000 years after Pelagian and Augustine, John Calvin and Jacob Arminius. And John Calvin said that everything's been determined for us. God's chosen the ones that will be saved. He's going to make sure that they're saved when Jesus returns. And, you know, Jacob Arminius, he believes that, no, we have a choice in the matter. You can accept Jesus' salvation, And you can also reject Jesus' salvation by not being in a, choosing that relationship. And today we're summing it all up, and I want to start by asking Jason the question. Jason, after we've briefly explored these ideas, where do you think you sit in the matter?
I sit firmly, I think, from my understanding of the Bible, that we are saved entirely by grace, mm-hmm. that it is not of our own works. I believe Ephesians 2, where it says we are saved by grace through faith. I believe, this is something we haven't talked about this week, I believe that God gives us each person a measure of faith. It says in, I think, Romans 12, verse 3, that we need to assess ourselves based on the faith that God has given each one.
Mm.
So the faith itself is not a work. Do you get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
We can't claim that as a work. Well, I've got more faith than you. It's actually a gift. So faith itself is a gift, but we have a choice. This is what I believe. We have a choice to exercise that faith or to ignore it and reject it. So I think it is entirely up to our choice whether we receive and utilize the faith that God has given us and we accept the gift of salvation, which is entirely a gift. And from that, so that's 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I believe our response needs to be one appreciating that grace and a loving response. And that loving response includes keeping God's instructions, because he says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm.
Love comes first.
Mm-hmm.
Grace for me, grace, love comes first. And the response to that grace and love that God has shown us is to love him by doing his will, by following his commandments. That's my take on it.
Right. So there's a mix. That's not, you know, you're totally sold to Pelagian's ideas or Arminian or Augustine. You've come to a position of, well, I can see sense in all these things. Well, this is what I think the Bible's saying. Particularly, you referred to Ephesians 2. We read that on Monday.
Hmm.
So that's great. Is there any adjustments, if I was to ask you, where do you think the Seventh-day Adventist Church stands?
Well, I hope it stands. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I hope it stands pretty much there. Look, I think individuals within different groups have slightly different perspectives on it. But as a whole, I think we do believe that we are saved by grace and grace alone.
Yeah.
And that's God's gift to us. But we must accept that. And the Adventist Church certainly calls for us to live in accordance with God's will and God's instructions that are contained in the Bible, his law, the Ten Commandments, and daily within his overall picture for us.
I'm glad you said that, Jason, because I've been around. I think I've had a pretty good experience and been around different local churches, not just our local churches. I've been into our different small groups, Bible studies and things like that. And like, just like you said, there are differences. I have been to some churches that lean towards Pelagian and say that, you know, unless you do these things, we're not worthy of God's grace. And I've been to the other extreme where it's total, God's grace saves you. And anything goes, you know, you're okay, you know, whatever you do with your life. So I'm glad. And then everything in between, everything in between has been there. So I'm glad. Thank you for answering those questions, Jason. And what do you call it? Oh, we found the Bible verse.
It depends on what translation you read.
I think I like the King James Version.
This is the New King James. And I think
it's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's similar.
Did you want to read that? This is Psalms 85:10. So this is well before Christ even walked the earth.
It says, mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed.
Mercy and truth
and
have met together.
I think there's other parts of this psalm that that give a bit more context in terms of referring to the cross as well.
Right. So mercy and truth have met together. You know, grace and law have met together, and it's only found in the great balance in Christ Jesus himself. And so we argue from this biased space, but I want to explore something. You know, we've gone through the history. We're now in 2026. And, you know, the question I'm hoping you're asking yourself is, well, where do I sit in this? You've heard Jason just share. Thanks for sharing that, Jason. Really appreciate that. But there was something my son said, and he was talking to a group of his friends as they were talking about, you know, purpose of life, where's God leading you and whatnot. And one of his friends says, no, I don't get it. I don't get what you're trying to say. And I had and my son Uriah, he answered it like this. He said, oh, basically, you know how your parents give you options? And they're like, yeah, yes, but they've already got what's going to happen, you know, regardless of what you say. Like, yeah, they all laughed and said, yeah, it's a bit like that. And I thought that makes a lot of sense, because what we learned at college is called conditional prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Conditional prophecy. And what this means is, God has already put a plan in motion. It's going to happen whether we like it or not.
And we get that example in Nineveh.
That's right.
We mentioned that a little while ago with Jacob Ellis. Nineveh was going to be destroyed, but God relented from that.
There you go. You're a scholar. Mm. A scholar and gentleman, Jason. Yeah, that's conditional prophecy right there. And Jonah was upset about it.
He was, yeah.
Because God said, if they repent, then I'm not going to do anything. And they repented, and Jonah said, you're not doing anything about it now. I said, yeah, because they... why don't you join me in having in rejoicing?
But then later, when they return to their old ways,
it comes true, doesn't it?
It does come true eventually, anyway.
And there's another one. The king Hezekiah, he was about to die, and he prayed for
more time.
Mm. And there was a condition that was put on it, and he met the condition, and God kept his promise, like he said.
Mm.
And so, one of the things that have been conditional to us, or have the prophecy, the greatest prophecy ever, is found in John 14, verse 1 to 3.
That's the return of Christ.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's happening whether we like it or not. Jesus is going to return.
Mm.
Right. And he said we'll hear it. We'll hear it for the listener, because this is an amazing promise.
It says in the English Standard Version, ESV, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
It's a condition.
Yeah. Believe. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. There where I am, you may be also.
And this is amazing. Jesus is putting his heart out there.
Mm.
The reason why he wants to return is because he wants you and me to be with him forever. That's his desire. And behind that desire is his promise. I'm going to return, and I'm preparing a place for you. But the condition is there. Because you and me, Jason, we could read that and say, no, I don't.
Mm.
I don't think that's real. I don't think that's happening.
Mm.
And we can go further and say, I don't believe in the Bible and I don't believe in Jesus. But the conditions are, and if you believe in this man Jesus Christ, and you do your due diligence in investigating this and going, oh, you know, like there's something that's here. The bigger picture is found throughout all of Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There's always been something that's there, and it's called the freedom of
choice. Yeah, well, Adam and Eve had that in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
Right at the end of Revelation, there's going to be another choice.
Correct.
A significant choice about who we worship, who do we give allegiance to.
Right.
And it's very specific in that case, Revelation 13, 14, that your eternal salvation depends on that choice.
Yeah. And so the bigger question has to be asked, right, Jason? And this is a legitimate question, I think, for the listener, for you and me. Is love really love if there isn't any choice?
I don't believe so. I think love can only exist. I believe this. Maybe other people don't, but I believe that love can only exist in the context of free will and free choice.
Mm. And that lends to, I knew you were going to say that, because you already said that you believe that everyone's given a measure of faith.
Mm.
And you can only respond to the measure of love that you've experienced.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I have no, I have no relationship to you whatsoever, and we meet, and I've got no judgment on you whatsoever, you might say, "Hey, let me buy you lunch." I'm going to think probably the first time, what does he want from me?
Yeah.
Right? That's the first thing that happens. Next time we get together, you know, you realize I'm walking. And you ask, why are you walking? Oh, my car's broken down. Here, let me give you a lift. Is this guy kind or is he, you know, he's questionable? But I'm now starting to measure, right?
Hmm.
And so we can only reciprocate love that we understand is coming from love, right? And
but,
so,
but we still have a choice as to whether we do that.
That's correct. Yeah, I can still be irresponsive or treat you badly, but it's up to me to say, you know what? Out of the way that I've been treated, I want to treat you the same way. And so, the person that comes to the understanding of why Jesus had to die on the cross, it comes to understand that, wow, is this how bad I have fallen? Is this how bad I'm in need of grace? When you look at the life of Jesus, which is why I encourage you to read the Gospels, and then you come to understand why Jesus had to go on the cross, and then you understand, wow, he conquered death. No one else can do that. You start to measure the love and the grace that comes from Jesus Christ, and then you have a choice on how you respond to that.
Mm.
And, you know, in all honesty, Jason, before I even got to the place of the cross, when I started reading that book, Desire of Ages, and I had a background in the Bible because I grew up in the church, but I started reading the book of Desire of Ages, there was something that was happening. Before I even got to the area of seeing Jesus on the cross, I was starting to change. There was decisions I was starting to make as I was journeying with Jesus. You know what I mean? It was just, wow, this is, I didn't know that. Other people pointed it out. Went, oh, Dave, you're not doing that anymore. And my brain went, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. I didn't even realize, you know? But you start responding in a way where you want to reciprocate. And if you're like this, then I want to be like this as well. Or you could say, no, I don't want to be. I don't want to be part of that, you know? Or you could just be negligent and not try and work on the relationship. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're in a marriage, you just decide, I'm not going to talk to my spouse. That's not going to work out for you. But yeah, same thing. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read my Bible. You know, I'm not going to share Jesus with somebody.
I'm not going to spend any time or effort in trying to grow in my Christian experience.
Yeah. And, you know, you could do that if you were guaranteed they're not going anywhere. You know, I believe that they're going to love me regardless of what I do and who I am. That may sound like safety and security, but you know in yourself, you know yourself individually, when you're not invested in something, you know that, right? Do you really love that person? Bigger question, Jason. Do you really believe that you're loved by that person? Do you believe that you're really loved? You know, it doesn't, you know, with Jesus, yeah, you are loved, but do you believe it? Right? That's the big condition.
And there are many warnings in the New Testament, particularly in the Old Testament as well, but in the New Testament, of being careful not to drift away, not to lose that first love.
Yeah.
You know, to continue to abide, to seek.
Yeah.
It's repeated. It's a message. It's over and over again. To repeat, we've got 30 seconds left.
30 seconds? Okay. Yeah. No, then I won't tell the story. I have to say it for a rainy day.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you could read that, Titus, I think it'd be a really good place to.
Titus 2, verse 11 to 14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works."
Amen.
This is a balance. This is the total picture.
Yeah.
Grace and
a response to grace.
A response to grace. Yeah. Our book offer, Last Chance to Claim It, is coming right up now.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our code for our book offer today is TEM83, and the book is Hope for All the World by Beulah Galloway. Bible answers to big questions. There is power in the Word of God. Sometimes we just need to let Scripture speak for itself. In this book, Hope for the World, Beulah Galloway presents Bible texts on God and His law, sin and salvation, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and man's place and purpose in the world, arranged topically for your convenience. Text us in TEM83 to 0488 880891. That's TEM83. Text it in to 0488 880891. Thank you for joining us this week. As we go out, this is the song by Phillips, Craig and Dean, Will You Love Jesus More? Performed by Golden Angel 8. May you encounter Jesus more today.
I feel quite sure if I did my best, I could maybe embrace you with tender words and harmony, a clever rhyme or two. But if all I'd done in the time we've shared was turn your eyes on me, then I felt and what I've been called to do, there's someone else I want you to see. Will you love Jesus more when we go our separate ways? When this moment is a memory, pray for nothing less than for you to love Jesus more. I'd like to keep these memories in frames of gold and silver and reminisce a year from now about the smiles we've shared. But above all else, I hope you will come to know the Father's love. When you see the Lord's face to face, you will hear Him say, well done. For you to love Jesus more, will you love Jesus more when we go our separate ways? When this moment is a memory, will you remember His face? For nothing less than for you to love Jesus more. I pray for nothing less than for you to love Jesus more.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.